We are looking at claiming your victory, and we're looking at different victories in the Bible. We've looked at the victorious life of Paul. We've looked at Joseph's victory over circumstances. And we looked at last week. Oh, yeah, victory over the inescapable. In difficult situations. I couldn't remember what we did last week. Oh, that's awful. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and they were stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh behind them. And what I want to look at this evening, have you ever heard the expression, oh, they've won the battle but lost the war? And that means, you know, having the victory in a small thing, but losing the big picture and losing the bigger battle. Or you may have heard the expression, oh, they've lost the battle, but they've won the war, meaning that they had the victory in that, or they lost that small area, but they actually got the overall victory. What I want to look at tonight is not just winning the battles, but I want to look at winning the war as well. Because oftentimes we can focus on the wrong thing. We can get focused so much upon that little battle that we're facing right now that we lose the big picture. We lose the focus of the bigger war that we're in. Or we can take our eyes off the battle because we're so concentrated on the war we're in that we're actually losing these littler battles and not being able to claim the victories that God has already laid out for us. Sometimes we focus in the wrong place. In our passage today in Exodus chapter 17, we see a battle taking place. We see Joshua fighting against the Amalekites. And there are several people mentioned in this account. There's Joshua, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. But I don't want to look at Israel's victory over the Amalekites today. I want to look at the little battles that were going on. Not just the battle with the Amalekites, but there were other battles going on. And eventually we're going to see that there was a much bigger picture. There was a much more important war, if you like, rather than these little battles. But one man is going to show us that you can have victory over the smaller battles as well as getting an overall victory over the war. We need to keep in mind that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and against principalities. We are in a spiritual war, whether we like it or not. Paul said that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier. And there will be times where we might take our eyes off the battle and we might want to put up the flag, the white flag of surrender, but we need to recognize that our commanding officer is never going to be in a position where he's going to say to his troops, retreat. He's never going to be in a position where he says to his troops, put up the white flag. Why? Because our commanding officer has already won the victory. Our commanding officer has already taken care of the outcome. We are able to not only win the battles, but to win the war as well. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight, for the opportunity to come around your word. And Lord, you know the hearts of each and every one of your children here tonight. You know those who are listening to this message online, where exactly where they are. You know what battle they are facing. You know where they are on the battlefield. You know how close they are to giving up. You know how close they are to taking their eyes off the Savior. And Father, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us tonight to not only claim the victory over those battles that we face every single day, but for us to realize that there is a much bigger picture than just what is right in front of us at the time. So Father, help us to recognize that, help us to realize that, and help us to draw on the strength that has been provided to us by our precious Savior. So Father, would you speak to our hearts this evening? For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So this is a very important moment in the history of the children of Israel. As they head towards the promised land, they come face to face with the armies of Amalek. These people were a nomadic tribe, and they were a constant thorn in Israel's side. In the first encounter, they proved their nature by conducting an unprovoked attack against the Israelites. This prompts the Lord to promise the total annihilation of the Amalekites. Here we find Moses, this great leader, along with Aaron, as well as the first mention of the future leader, Joshua. All of these men were great men. All of these men were great leaders in the history of Israel. All of these men played an important part in the early history of this nation. But there's another man. A man that steps out of nowhere, a man, for all intents and purposes, that could have disappeared without much of a trace. And his name is Hur. We see from this passage of scripture that during this battle, Moses' hands were held up as a sign of intercession, and Israel prevailed. When Moses' hands got tired, he dropped them, and Amalek prevailed. After a while, Moses was too weary to hold up his hands. I think we did a little experiment a couple of years ago when I asked everybody to hold out their Bibles, and it wasn't above the head, it was just out. And after a while, that really starts to hurt, even if you've got a pocket New Testament and Psalms. You don't even have to have a study Bible. It doesn't take long before even that small weight starts to hurt on your arms. And Moses, don't forget now, Moses is no spring chicken. You know, he's in his 80s at this point, just lifting up his hands above his head. When they were up in the air, Israel prevailed. But when they started to drop, the armies of the Amalekites prevailed. So Aaron and Hur steps up, and they hold up the arms of Moses, one on either side, just to keep Moses' arms held up in the air. Now, we don't know much about Hur, but we know that he had a part in this great victory. What I want to look at, I want to look at three battles that Hur overcame. And then I want to look at, if you like, the bigger war that was going on. And a very real spiritual war that was going on. And because Hur was so faithful, he not only won the battles, but he also won the war. He didn't win the battles at the expense of the war, and he didn't forfeit the battles in order to, you know, to get a cheap victory, as it were. We can win the battles as well as win the war. So the first battle we see here is the victory over the uninteresting. You know, a lot of times we might view the Christian life as a bit mundane. And there are various things that we ought to do as believers that we might think are just that, uninteresting, mundane. And we need the victory in that area of our lives. We need the victory over that battle of the uninteresting. In this story, Moses is unable to hold up his hands. If they fall, the Amalekites will win the battle. But Aaron and Hur hold up the arms of Moses until the battle is won. That doesn't sound like an interesting job. Who, you know, Joshua is out there and he's fighting the battle. You can see that. You can see exactly what's going on. You can see with your own eyes the battle that Joshua is facing and the children of Israel against the Amalekites. What battle is Hur fighting? That's it. Hur's just holding up someone's arms. He hasn't got a sword in his hand. He hasn't got a shield. He hasn't got a spear. He's not out there, you know, standing side by side with Joshua, swinging the axe, as it were. He's just simply holding up someone's arms. That doesn't sound very interesting. It doesn't sound like, anything that's going to bring a great victory or anything, but it played such an important part in the battle that Joshua was facing. Aaron and Hur are the unsung heroes of the conflict. Had it not been for them, the battle wouldn't have been won. I understand the battle was the Lord's, but you understand what I'm saying. When Moses' arms came down, the Amalekites prevailed. But because Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses, Joshua was able to lead the children of Israel to victory. Hur's job was uninteresting, but it was invaluable. Now, there are plenty of things in our Christian lives that we might think, that's uninteresting. I don't want to do that. I haven't got time to do that. I don't want to get on and do that, but we have to. And things haven't changed today. Even in the church, we see the Moses and Aarons and the Joshuas, and there are plenty of people who can stand up and take credit for a lot of things that goes on in the church. But behind every one of those people, there are hundreds of hers, just simply holding up the arms, simply praying for a service, simply, just doing the mundane things, the uninteresting things, if you like, in that regards. Doing the things that would never normally get any credit for because you just don't see it. There are a vast number of people who are praying for this church and carrying the load, if you like, in that regards. People who pray and seek the Lord's face and lift up the hands of those who are weary. Not just the pastors or the preachers. There are plenty of people in this church who are in need of prayer. And there are plenty of people in the church who are getting the victory over the battles of the uninterested and just simply pray for people who can't hold up their own arms. There are plenty of people who need prayer today. But we might think, do we care about so-and-so's gallbladder? And do we care about so-and-so's ingrowing toenail? And they might not be important to us. But it's important to the Lord. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told us to pray for one another. He wouldn't have told us to pray without ceasing. He wouldn't have told us to cast our cares upon him. He wouldn't have told us to intercede on behalf of others. That might sound uninteresting, but it's important. It's important. And we've got to get the victory in those little battles that we face each and every day. Every now and again, if I preach a message with the help of somebody and somebody will come up and say, I really appreciate that help, and that's great, but let me tell you something. Everything that comes out of these lips that has got any merit to it whatsoever is from the Lord. All the nonsense that comes out of these lips, that's from me. Let's just put that right now. But can I say this? There are loads of people that I am so thankful for that pray for me on a Sunday because I couldn't do this in my own strength. I'm thankful for the people who will just send a text and say, praying for you. Here's a verse that the Lord brought to my remembrance. It's as if there are all of these hers just holding up my arms. And that's appreciated. Nothing means as much to me as the knowledge that some of God's precious people are holding my arms up in prayer. And I want you to know today that that's important, that I appreciate that. But you can do that for everybody in the church, because at some point or another, every one of us needs to have our arms lifted up because we are struggling under the load. We're struggling in the battle. We are weary and battle-worn. We just need a hurt to lift up our arms. We can have the victory over the uninteresting. Even the Lord Jesus Christ had somebody who was willing to hold up his arms, if you like, when he ministered. Mark 15:40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. If the aid of others helped the Lord, how do you think we can cope without it? That's why fellowship is important. That's why church is important. That's why it is hard to be on this lockdown and not to be able to meet together in church like we normally would. Why? Because it's an important part of our development. It's an important part of winning those little victories in every battle that we face as a church, as individuals. Why? Because we can actually physically, visibly see those then holding up our arms aloft and enabling us to get the battles, the victory in the battles that we're facing. This church would be nothing if it wasn't for the people who spent their time lifting it up in prayer. We couldn't do what we do if it wasn't for the hers in this church. We need to recognize that we can't have the victory over even the uninteresting thing. And I'm not saying the prayer is uninteresting. Please don't think that. But sometimes we can view prayer as mundane. Or we can view it as a multiple choice. I don't need to do it. I'll skip it today. But that's... If her said, well, I don't want to do that. That's mundane. That's uninteresting. I'd rather be down there with Joshua, swinging the sword around. That's where the glory is. Yeah, but the victory was going to be won up here, holding aloft the arms of Moses. The other battle that her faced was the unimportant. Her wasn't a great leader like Moses. If you look in verse 10, Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. In verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Hur wasn't a great leader like Moses. He wasn't a great general like Joshua. He wasn't a great high priest like Aaron. He wasn't a warrior like those in the army. He was just her. And on this day, there was one thing that her could do, and he did it willingly, actively, and faithfully. He could lift up Moses' arms. And that seemed unimportant. To our eyes, the important thing was what was going on the battlefield. Surely that's the important thing. That's where the victory needs to be won, down there. That's not important, to stand up here and just hold up someone's arms. But he was going to do what he could, and he was going to do it faithfully. What a lesson for us. You know, there's plenty of things in the Christian life that we deem as unimportant. Unfortunately, the Christian deems prayer as unimportant. The Christian deems Bible reading as unimportant. The Christian deems church attendance as unimportant. For some Christians, this pandemic is the best thing that ever happened, because it has just given them the perfect excuse. I'm not allowed to go to church anymore. Brilliant. Far too many people view those things as unimportant. We need to get the victory over that battle to realize that prayer is imperative, not unimportant. That Bible reading is our lifeline. It's not unimportant. Church attendance is not something to fill a few hours on a Sunday and a Wednesday. Church is here for a reason. It's not unimportant. We understand that not everybody can preach, not everybody can sing solos, not everybody can play instruments, not everybody can be an effective witness, not everybody can do the visible jobs. But guess what? If you are saved by the grace of God, then the Lord Jesus Christ has placed you perfectly into a body of believers. And it doesn't matter whether you're the hand or the foot or the eye or the mouth or the nose or the tongue or whatever it is, you fit perfectly into the body. You know, we think, but our body, you know, there's certain things we don't need. You know, what was I last year? 46. I had my appendix removed. 46, you're not meant to have your, that's not meant to happen to older people. That's like a younger person's problem. And everybody says, the appendix is not important, you don't need it. But you do when you're growing up. Only now they're discovering that actually the appendix is quite clever. And you actually do need it when you're younger. I'm not going to go into what it is, because I'll just make a fool of myself in front of everybody who works for the NHS. But I think it's got something to do with either the immune system, or it's obviously got something to do with the intestines and the bowel and that, because that's kind of where it is, but it's important. Everything in our body is important. It's not there by accident. God has created us perfectly. And if he's put that in our body, it's meant to be there. I'm saying that to say this. Every single person who is a born-again believer fits into the body of Christ perfectly. Even if you're an appendix, you're still important. I'm not saying who's the appendix, but even if you are, it's important. You fit perfectly into the body of Christ. And while not everybody can do exactly the same thing as the person next to you, you are all here for a purpose. There's no such thing as an unimportant task when it comes to church, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to being a Christian. And we got to get the victory over those areas of our lives to recognize that our calling from God is sure, that our calling from God is important. We've been tasked to go into all the world and preach the gospel, every single one of us. It doesn't matter how young or how old we are as a believer in Christ, you've been commissioned to preach the gospel. That's not an unimportant task. And we need to get the victory over those little battles when we think, well, you know, that's unimportant and that doesn't matter and that's uninteresting. And get the victory over those areas of our lives so we can move forward for the Lord and do what He's called us to do. Her could have quite easily said, there's no point in doing this. This is not as important as what's going on the battlefield. But yes, it was. Because if her wasn't doing that, Joshua couldn't have any victory down there doing that. The whole idea here is why we can't do everything, we can do what we can do. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said of Mary? She hath done what she could. It's not important if you can do what others can or can't do. It's important that you do what you can do. Don't look at other people and say, well, I want to do that. I can't believe that they are doing that. I want to do it. God hasn't put you here to do what somebody else can do. God's put you here to do what you can do. There is a great work to do, and there's a room for everybody to be involved in the Lord's work. David had the right attitude in serving the Lord when he said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. No task is unimportant. Don't you ever say as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, my life's just not important. No task in the life of a Christian is unimportant. Especially if it's being done for the glory of God. There's always a place in the Lord's work for people who want to be involved. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know it, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Her got the battle over the unimportant. He got the victory and it came to the battle over the uninteresting. But he also had, he won the battle over the unseen. Slide missing. He won the battle over the unseen. Look at verse 12 again. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Hur is not mentioned before this incident, and there are only a couple of other occasions after this where he's mentioned. This is a man who lived in the shadows while others around him received the glory. For all intents and purposes, he was invisible. If I was to mention to you, you name some names from the Exodus, name some names from the book of Exodus, you'd probably mention people like Moses and Aaron and Joshua and maybe Caleb, and perhaps you wouldn't mention her because he's unseen. He kind of jumps onto the page here, does an important task that seems unimportant, and then kind of slips back into the shadows again. He was invisible to the crowd. The crowd could only see Moses. They could only see Aaron. They could only see Joshua. You can imagine after the battles when Joshua goes back into the camp and he's led the victorious Israelite army back into the camp, and they're congratulating him and they are cheering in and they're patting him on the back and they're saying, good work, Joshua, well led, how incredible, what a victory. You can see the people hailing Moses as he comes back into the camp with shouts of gratitude. You can hear Aaron as he leads the congregation into a high priestly prayer, praising God for giving them the victory. And then her just simply walks along the sidelines, as it were, back to his tent. No one pats him on the back. No one tells him he did a good job. In fact, there's only a few people who were even aware that he was up on that hilltop with Moses and Aaron that day. To most people, he is invisible. But it didn't matter. He wasn't doing it for the plaudits of the crowd. He wasn't doing it for the pat on the back. His heart is overjoyed because it didn't matter whether or not the crowd saw him. All that mattered was that the Lord saw him. All that mattered was that in heaven he would hear, because of his sacrifice, the whisper of, well done, good and faithful servant. There are so many in our churches today who are just like her. Invisible to the crowds. They don't necessarily stand up the front. They don't necessarily give a testimony. They don't necessarily pray out loud in prayer time. They, for all most parts, they just slip through unawares. They don't get the pats on the back. They don't say, well done. They just remain invisible, faithfully giving, faithfully praying, faithfully serving, faithfully weak. After week after week. People like her work and labor, and yet nobody says thank you. And it can be hard serving the Lord when nobody says thank you, but we can get victory over this particular battle of being unseen. You know, the flesh wants to be recognized. You know, if we come into the church and maybe clean the church, we want somebody to say, oh, thank you so much. It's just natural. Anytime we do anything, we want somebody to say thank you. I mean, good night, as parents. You know, we pick up a fork from the table and we expect the kids to say thank you. Well, what do you say? Don't be fooled. We're not trying to teach the kids manners. We want appreciation. What do you say? Thank you. That's a natural thing. We want to be recognized. But if we do that in our spiritual walk, where we want to be thanked, we want to be recognized, we want that pat on the back, what would you rather have? The reward here on earth, which is simply a pat on the back, or a reward in heaven where the Lord says, well done. He talked about it. He said, look, don't be like those Pharisees. Don't be fasting and going, oh, look at me, I'm fasting. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm putting into the offering. He said, don't be like that. If you're going to give to the Lord, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Just give to the Lord. The Lord sees it. If you're going to fast, fast. But don't make it look like you're fasting. Oh, I haven't eaten for 2 hours. Look at me, I'm a Baptist, and I haven't eaten for 2 hours. I'm going to die. Just get on with it and fast. But we want to be recognized. We want the appreciation of people. We want people to turn around and say, oh, I can't believe what you've done. Thank you so much. I think the first thing we need to recognize is we're not indispensable. The church will keep going, whether or not we are here. The church will keep going. It's not dependent on us. Don't take that as like an invitation to just leave, though, because it's still nice to have somebody to talk to. It was awful hard during lockdown when we were just looking at your pictures on the pew, so keep coming back. But you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we feel like we're completely indispensable, that if we leave, the church will suddenly just fall apart. But the Lord will keep his work going. It's hard winning that particular victory. But her shows us that it can be done. To win that battle over the unseen, there's plenty of stuff that we can be doing. There's plenty of stuff that people do, and it never gets recognized. But the Lord sees everything we do. Sometimes people work in the church and somebody else gets the recognition. You know, there's lots of stuff that I talk about that somebody else has put the work in. You know, every time I mention a Greek word, I don't know Greek. I can't even pronounce it. It was a nightmare when Mariella was here from Cyprus, because every time I said something in Greek, she was like, that's not how you say it. It's like, oh, heck. I'm not a Greek scholar. I haven't got a clue. But somebody else has been gifted in that area and has put the work in. And there's a gentleman by the name of Strong. And I'm thankful for Strong's Concordance, because Strong's Concordance makes me look really intelligent. Ah, but the Greek word for this is. But somebody else has put the work in. Can I say this? Don't be disheartened if you put the work in and somebody else gets a recognition. If our motive is for somebody else to get the recognition in everything we do, we'll not be disappointed, because the one who should get the recognition is the Lord in everything that we do. I'm sure there will be plenty of people in heaven who worked and worked and worked and somebody else got the recognition, but they will be the ones who will receive the greatest acclaim. They'll be those in the forefront that will have the greater judgment. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. If the Lord has called you to perform a quiet, godly ministry, rejoice in the call he's extended you and get on with it. Not everything we do will be seen or recognized by other people, but everything we do will be seen and recognized by God. When William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, felt the call of the Lord to go into the streets of London and begin ministering in the streets to the people, he stood in a Methodist conference meeting and requested permission from the presiding bishop to be released from his church to go into the streets and preach. The bishop heard the request and denied it, telling Booth that they would not waste a man of his education and talent on the people of the streets. Upon hearing this, Booth sat down, resigned to defeat. His wife was seated in the balcony, because women at this time were not allowed on the first floor. She stood up and leaned over the rail. She called to her husband and told him to listen to God and not to man. She vowed to stand with her husband against every foe. She came down from the balcony. Booth took her by the arm and they left the building to go into the streets to win people to Jesus. He was ready to quit, but his wife, a lady who usually stayed in the background, stepped out of the shadow of her husband to hold up his arms in a crucial time of his life. We can get the victory in the battles that we face of the unseen if our motive is that God gets the glory and not us. So these were some of the battles that Hur faced. So what was the war that was won then? There was a much bigger picture to this. Can I say this? That in these battles that you face, when you face these unimportant things in your lives, or these uninteresting things in your lives, or you battle with the unseen because of recognition, there are always people watching. There are always people watching our testimony. They see how we react when we don't get the thanks that we think we deserve. They see how we react when it comes to the things of church, whether we think certain things are uninteresting or unimportant. And they watch us all the time. And there was somebody watching her constantly. And this is where the war was won. Because all of these little battles, if her had not been victorious in these little battles, this particular war would not have been won. Turn over to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 2. Exodus 31. And we look at verse 1. So God is talking to Moses about building the tabernacle. Not just the tabernacle, but everything that goes inside the tabernacle as well. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying in verse 2 of chapter 31, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stone, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." And it goes down to verse 6, it says that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon and all the furniture of the tabernacle. As Hur lived his life, as Hur got the victory in these little battles that he faced, as he performed his God-given ministry, others were watching. Sometime later, God needed somebody to build a tabernacle. God needed somebody to build the furniture of the tabernacle. God needed somebody to build a tabernacle and provide a place where the Lord would meet with his people, a place where he could dwell. He needed somebody to build something that he would dwell above the mercy seat. When the Lord looked down at those millions of Israelites, his eyes settled on one man, Bezaleel, and his name means in the shadow of God, by implication meaning protected, protected by God. Bezaleel just so happens to be the grandson of a man named Hur. Maybe Bezaleel was watching his granddad. Maybe he watched him as his grandfather quietly served the Lord. Maybe he watched his grandfather as he took a back seat while others got all the credit. Maybe he watched the Lord use her time and time again for his glory. Maybe he remembered a time when granddad just quietly came back to the tent after a great victory. Perhaps he remembers granddad telling him the stories of just simply holding up the arms of Moses while the battle raged in front of them, while the rest of the camp were excited about the great victory that Joshua and Moses had worked. Bezaleel probably took note of the fact that it was his grandfather, a man who was willing to serve God in a quiet fashion, helped bring about one of the greatest victories in the nation of Israel. What I'm trying to get at tonight is this. You don't have to have a high-profile position. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are in your walk with the Lord. You can affect somebody else's walk with God. You can influence somebody else. If they see you getting the victories over these little battles in your lives, then you can win the war, as it were, when it comes to their life going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not be a high-flying person. You may not have a high-profile position. But others are watching you. That's why our testimony is so important. You know, if we lose the war with our testimony, we will affect whether or not somebody comes to know the Lord. You know, if we are not careful, we could end up losing these little battles that are sent our way. And that ends up destroying our testimony. And that ends up just giving the Lord a bad name. What's the point in becoming a Christian if they live like that? What's the point in becoming a Christian if that's all life has to offer? What's the point in becoming a Christian if they walk around looking like such a sour lemon, all bitter and twisted? There's no unimportant duties in the church. Parents, your kids are watching you walk. So make sure you walk worthy with the vocation you've been called. Students, your classmates are watching you walk. So be careful with how you act in the classroom. Work colleagues, people are watching you walk. Nothing would give them more satisfaction than you slipping up. There's no unimportant duties in the church. The wise follower knows that his life is a testimony. As we do the little things God gives us, we are telling those around us that God's work is important in every detail. That's why I believe we ought to be where we should be every time. We should be there when it comes to church. What testimony is that when somebody says, "Oh, what are you up to tonight?" "Oh, nothing." "Oh, it's Wednesday. Don't you normally go to Bible study on a Wednesday?" "Oh, not tonight." "Why?" "Oh, you wouldn't miss whatever else goes on in the week. You wouldn't miss training, or you wouldn't miss rugby, or you wouldn't miss your cross-stitching class. You wouldn't miss bingo on a Monday, or you're not going to church Wednesday." You know? What kind of testimony is that? It just shows people my walk with the Lord really isn't that important. bang, war's lost. Doesn't matter how many little battles we win along the way, our testimony's destroyed. Bezalel was watching Grandad every step of the way. And God used him in an incredible way. Why? Because her testimony made an impact on Bezalel's life. Every deed we do is an investment in eternity. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt them, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Maybe you can relate to her. Maybe you recognize the fact that there are some battles in your life that you struggle with. Maybe there's areas of your Christian life that you think are unimportant or uninteresting. Maybe you struggle with the fact that there are things that you do that go unseen that nobody recognizes, and that frustrates you. Can I say this? Let's get the victory over those areas of our lives. Because the bigger picture is that people are watching. Our testimony is important. Our testimony will affect somebody. I'm sure there are people we can point to in our lives that have made a difference or an impact. There are people who have made an impact in my life from a positive point of view. There are people who have made an impact in my life from a negative point of view. And I'm sure that the same can be said about me. Maybe I've affected people positively in some, and maybe I've affected others negatively. And that's something I'll have to answer to when I get to glory. But we can win the battles without a detrimental effect on the war. It's possible. Claim our victory. Maybe you're listening to this message tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Well, that's the first hurdle that needs to be overcome. You need to come to know Christ as your Savior before it's too late. Maybe you are here tonight and you're struggling. Maybe there's areas of your Christian life that have suddenly become unimportant. Maybe there's areas of your Christian life that are not as interesting as they once were. Well, we need to rekindle those flames. If we view Bible reading and prayer time and church attendance as unimportant or uninteresting, then there's a problem. We need to get the victory in that area of our lives. Maybe we get frustrated when nobody sees what we do and we don't get a credit for it. Well, God sees everything. I'd rather not have a well done from the Lord than a well done from somebody down here. Our testimony will have an impact on somebody. You can win the battles as well as winning the war. One doesn't have to be forsaken for the other. It is doable. It is possible. Not in our strength, but in His strength. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this evening and for the opportunity to come around your word. Lord, whatever battle is being faced this evening, I pray that you would just speak to the hearts of those listening to this message tonight. I pray that you would help us, Lord, recognize the fact that there is nothing unimportant when it comes to serving you. There is nothing uninteresting in the Christian life. And Father, if we serve you our whole lives and never get any credit for it, it doesn't matter, because we want you to receive the glory, the honor and the praise. What is important is that our life is a testimony, an open letter, as it were, to be seen and read of all men, that people might know that Christ is at the center of our lives, that He has the preeminence in our lives, that He is the controlling factor in our lives, that He is the most important person in our lives. Help us, Lord, to not only win the battles, but help us to win the war when it comes to having a testimony that stands the test of time among a lost and dying world. Father, we're just so thankful again for this time together tonight. We just pray now that you'd continue to speak to our hearts. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, the Musgrove is going to come and sing our last hymn for us this evening. And following that, Alistair, I wonder if you close us in a word of prayer. Amen.
To Thank you, Lord, once more for another message, Lord, another word, another touch that you've given us. Help us this week to go forward and seek out those that are burdened and heavy laden, and help us to lift their arms that we might strengthen them and give them courage, and that they may see in us something of you that would shine through. Make our testimonies true, Lord, to you and not to us, and help us to remember whatever we do and however we do it, it's for your glory and not for our own. Amen.